Hi, everybody. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford. He's Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field and Wes as we continue to preview Sunday's game at Nissan Stadium in Nashville between the Green Bay Packers and the Tennessee Titans. We heard from Mike McCarthy on Wednesday briefly before practice. And I think if there was one line that stood out to me from what McCarthy had to say, it was with regards to the whole energy and enthusiasm issue of his team. He said, our guys will bring it. I think the head coach is trying to put this whole energy issue to rest and to rest moving forward.
Yeah, a little bit of too much of an energy surge here this past week and how much the E word has been thrown out in conversation. And I thought that was one of the big things I took from Mike McCarthy's press conference. And it's not that there was a big issue with energy. I think the problem was is that they have a standard in which they want their guys to play to in terms of energy. It's a prerequisite. It's what they expect. So while it is an point of emphasis, I don't think it's something that they feel like, okay, well, this week we're going to have more energy. It's just about sustaining that energy and making sure that that sense of urgency is there. You know, McCarthy was also asked about that, if there's any more pressure on this game, 4-4, going on the road, first of a three-game road stand. And I thought the big takeaway in his words is that it all matters. It's all the same. Everybody gets it. Everybody knows what needs to be accomplished. And if the energy level's high and it's really palpable, great. Yeah. But it's not going to be something where it's like they're going to go into halftime and be like, yep, not enough energy again. I think it's just something that they expect.
Yeah, I think so too. And when we heard from Aaron Rodgers at his locker, he talked again, echoing some of the same thoughts that he had after Sunday's game in terms of the team's response in difficult moments, whether you're talking about the 99-yard kickoff return to open up the game and you fall behind 7-0, or you know the defense allowing the 96-yard touchdown drive right before halftime. The Packers came out after halftime, didn't respond and put points on the board. A drive into Indianapolis territory ends in an interception. Aaron Rodgers was saying, hey, you know, those are moments that we have to respond better as a team. They have to bounce back. And I think, yeah, some energy, whatnot can help with that, but those responses can also generate more of the enthusiasm and a team being fired up going into the rest of the ballgame.
Yeah, and Mike, this is one of the things too, and I was kind of, you know, listening around the locker room to some of what the guys were saying. Jordy Nelson and Devontae Adams were talking at basically the same time that Rodgers was speaking across the room, and one of the things that they said is that, you know, really the energy, I don't think gets questioned if the execution's there.
Yep.
And when they look at the film, you know, people talk about the man coverage and you know, trying to defeat that. As Adam said, he's like, if you watch the film, we get separation. There's instances where there's separation. The 40-yard completion was an instance of separation. But there's so many things that go into it in terms of not only just getting and beating your guy, it's being able to get into that rhythm offensively, being able to have a situation where Rodgers has a clean pocket, being able to get the ball out. There's so many things that go into it. And I think what happens is us, particularly on the media side of things, is we get caught up in this, well, there has to be a reason.
Yeah.
There has to be something. It's the energy. It's the commitment. Where's the sense of urgency? How many times have you and I opened up the Insider Inbox on our website and seen, well, what's the urgency level like? What's the sense of urgency? It's there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's what it is. And when things don't go your way, when you don't have the start you want, when you don't have the time of possession go in your favor in a particular quarter, everybody wants something to look at. And I think that coming out of that game against the Colts, that's what everybody gravitated towards.
Yeah, I think so. And when you talk about the rhythm on offense too, and this is just me speculating here a little bit, but I think in some ways, Ty Montgomery being on, you know, a limited snap count, whatever it was in the game, Randall Cobb was dressed, but then he was rested for the first half,
right,
and then played in the second half. It's one thing to have all these moving parts during the week and figuring out who's going to play on Sunday, but when it's still sort of moving parts and all this uncertainty and whatnot on Sunday, I think that's really hard for an offense.
I
think that's difficult for an offense to find a rhythm, and you just wonder now if moving forward, obviously from what we've seen, it appears Ty Montgomery is getting back closer to full health, hopefully the same with Randall Cobb. And you just wonder moving forward if it's okay. If you're playing, you're playing. And if you're not, you're not. Because all of this in and out and trying to measure, you know, snap counts based on the health of individuals, that's just that's another element, another monkey wrench that gets thrown into the thing when you're trying to juggle so many things on game day and things are happening so fast.
Absolutely. And now if you look these last few weeks, the Packers actually are climbing with their offensive statistics, the points per game, the yardage. They had over 400 total yards in that game against the Colts. The last month or so, I know it all hasn't been perfect. I know they haven't won every game, but you've seen signs of that offense establishing itself, and they've done that in spite of the fact that you don't have Randall Cobb in certain instances without Ty Montgomery. I think the big key here is, regardless of who comes back, regardless of who's healthy in December, the Packers have found out different ways to make all of this personnel work when you don't have your running backs or when you don't have your top receivers. That is going to be such a huge, valuable asset to them in the long run. We'll have to see how everything plays out, but if they can gain their footing the way they have despite some of those losses, I still think there's a lot to look forward to in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I agree with you. They've figured some things out on offense, but now that we are to the second half of the season, it has to start translating into victories because the clock is going to start ticking here when you're 4-4 at the halfway point. But with that, we'll throw it to a break, and we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here. Wes Hodkiewicz there. Wes, let's continue the discussion. We brought up Ty Montgomery in the first segment, and Mike McCarthy had some interesting comments about Montgomery on Wednesday, talking about how, you know, you have to look past the jersey number, the 88. This is a guy that they feel confident in being on the field at running back, all three downs, running the ball, catching passes out of the backfield, picking up blitzes, and I don't like to get in the business of putting words in Mike McCarthy's mouth, but not knowing necessarily the status of James Starks and whatnot as we head into this week, it sounded to me like he was declaring Ty Montgomery right now is the number one running back on this team. What do you think?
Yeah, and it's interesting, Mike. I think back to all your days in recreational sports. I play some basketball. I know you do racquetball. When you're in a team environment, you want to be in the position to make the biggest impact. And I think that's what everybody here understands. Ty Montgomery understands that. It doesn't matter where you line up. If you have the football in your hands, it's an opportunity to make a play. And what were we saying, Mike, going back to last season, even when he was a true wide receiver only? Get Ty Montgomery the ball in open space and let him see what he can do. I think the most exciting thing about what we've seen from him this year has been that he can do it through crowded areas. It seems like he loves and really embraces running between the tackles.
Yeah.
He can do it on some of the stretch plays and pitches. And he can do it when he's catching the ball in the backfield. People sometimes, like, they'll talk about, well, the offense, where's it going? Where's the innovation? Does anyone realize that nobody else in the NFL really does this? I mean, Los Angeles does with Tavon Austin. But otherwise, there aren't a whole lot of places that use,
not much,
you know, Randall Cobb, Ty Montgomery, Devontae Adams, the way that the Packers have used them. So it doesn't matter. As you wrote about on the website, the number doesn't matter. The position doesn't matter. Ty Montgomery wants to make some plays. And these last 3 weeks when he's played, he's done just that.
Yeah, he definitely has. One of the interesting comments I thought he made that I included in my story about him was he was asked about, does it feel like you can use your instincts at running back, or are you thinking about things and whatnot? And while everything is always a combination of knowing the playbook and then also doing something instinctively, what I thought was interesting that he said is that as far as the running back carrying the ball, the instincts for him, he feels like they sort of stem from kickoff return duty, which he did a lot at Stanford in college and then also last year as a rookie for the Packers before he got injured. And he said, hey, it's, you know, it's not exactly the same thing, but it is the same thing from the standpoint of, you know, where it's supposed to go, you know, the hole that you're supposed to hit, but it doesn't always work that way. And if you're not going to hit exactly the hole that you're supposed to, it's your job, because the ball is in your hands, to still make something work, to still make something happen. And he's just applying those return man instincts to the running back position when he's handed the ball on a draw play or a pitch or a stretch, as you say. It's the same mentality for him.
Yeah, and it was interesting how he said that. He's like, you know, I don't want to sound arrogant
at all. Right.
But at the same time, there is something to be said for having a natural feel for that. Because think about that, Mike. That's what you can. That's when you can operate at your best, is when something feels natural, when it feels like it's not foreign, it's not something that you're really going to have to think about too much. And at that position, I mean, any playmaking position on the offensive side of the ball, really, it comes down to just being able to react because the game moves so fast.
Yeah.
And that was the one thing, I think, and I touched on in that first comment I had, that has surprised me the most about Montgomery, is that he does look so natural when he's running between the tackles. And you think about that first play, 24 yards, carry right up the middle, kind of helping make something out of nothing. I mean, the offensive line did a good job of getting him an initial path, but at the second level, he was there very quickly.
Yeah.
And he had to make sure that he was able to get guys off of him. But as Mike McCarthy said, I mean, he's a 220, 225-pound young man. He can do a variety of different things for you, and he's fast, and he's quick. I think this is just another opportunity, and it's another instance in which the Packers are really maximizing a guy's strength. And we talked about it during Final Cuts, when they only kept two natural running backs on the roster, yep, in addition to Aaron Ripkowski. Ty Montgomery, not a bad number three.
Yeah, it's that seems to be the way the season has developed, out of necessity, as it turns out, because of the injuries, as opposed to maybe a more natural evolution with it. But the other thing that I think will be interesting to watch going forward, because Mike Mularkey, the Tennessee Titans head coach, in his conference call with Green Bay reporters on Wednesday, talked about how they've highlighted Montgomery in their meetings. They put him up on the screen, number 88. You know, we have to know where this guy is and the impact that he's having. I'll be curious to see, and I think I mentioned this a week or two ago as well, going forward here, if Ty Montgomery's lined up in the backfield and it's a second or third down, it looks like a passing play, I just wonder how many more times going forward the defense is going to try to force Montgomery's hand in terms of staying in to protect Rodgers by sending the linebacker, as opposed to going with the standard rush and letting him flare out and have that one-on-one opportunity in space. Right. From a schematic standpoint, I think defenses are going to be very wary of letting Montgomery get those opportunities in the open field.
But what happens in that situation if you do have if you do blitz the linebacker to go up against Montgomery, if you have him commit?
Right.
Suddenly nobody's on Aaron Rodgers. Right. And that's the thing I kind of took away from this past 2 weeks, is there's been more guys, more teams. You saw it in Atlanta, and now you're seeing it a little bit in that game against the Colts, where they were using guys to spy Rodgers. Well, that takes a guy out of the rush, and that sometimes can also free up Montgomery. So in a lot of ways, it is sort of becoming a pick-your-poison kind of offense in terms of where do you want to put your pressure, where do you want to put your support. I would be interested to see, okay, so if you do end up having more guys collapse, and certainly there was one play against the Colts that I'm sure Montgomery and the offense would like to have back.
Right.
But in general, he's strong enough to hold up to those, and Aaron Rodgers is pretty good at rolling out of the pocket as well.
Yeah, there's going to be an interesting chess match here that develops. And now, while Montgomery doesn't have any control or say over how many times he gets the ball or how many snaps he's out there, he indicated in the locker room that he's, you know, ready for full duty. The limited snaps that he was on last week after missing the game the week before, he feels like he's ready to go and possibly get, you know, back to the 20 touches that he had against Chicago on that Thursday night game. So we'll see how that develops. But this, I think, will be a very interesting story with the Packers offense for the second half of the season. And but we got to throw it to a break. I'm talking too much, Wes. And we'll be back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkowitz. And Wes, let's take a quick look at the NFC in general, because when you go back to the discussion about motivation and incentives and where things stand, we've talked about it. The Packers wanted to be better than 4-4 at the halfway point. But you look at the NFC as a whole right now, 16 teams total, four teams, four divisions. Yeah. I know you can do that math.
It's easy enough for me, yes.
Okay. The Chicago Bears have two wins. The San Francisco 49ers have one win. Everybody else in the NFC has three or more victories at this point, 14 out of 16. And a team that's 3-5 at the halfway point, like the Carolina Panthers or the Los Angeles Rams, you cannot count them out with a 3-5 record. So 14 out of 16 teams in the NFC have three or more wins, but only six of those 14 teams can make the playoffs. This is going to be some second half and jockeying for position in the NFC as this goes forward.
It's going to be a race, really, to the finish, too, particularly when you look at a lot of these divisional matchups really going to be decided in the final 3 weeks of the year with how they laid out the schedules this season. The thing I find that's most surprising, Mike, as I glance into the standings right now, you have a team like Minnesota, and they're 5-3. 3 weeks ago, they were 5-0.
Right.
And a lot of people were thinking they were a big contender. Not to say that they still aren't. They have the third fewest points in the NFL this season. Then you have a team like Philadelphia that's actually in their bottom, their fourth place in the NFC East. And I think they're second or third in the league in net point differential. So it just goes to say how crazy this year has been in terms of the wins and losses and a lot of close games. Now, Green Bay Packers, as you said, they don't want to be 4-4. They'd like to be a little bit higher on the side of the win column and also in the turnover differential. But then you have Carolina. Then you have Arizona, yep, who I certainly would love to be 4-4 right now. So it's just a really perplexing kind of way this whole conference has sort of shuffled out here so far this season.
Yeah, and when you look at the fact that the NFC North and the NFC East have been matched up against each other in these cross-division games, 7 out of the 8 teams in those two divisions are 4-4 or better right now. We know the Packers still have to play the Eagles and the Redskins coming up here very shortly.
Right.
Both the Vikings and the Lions still have to play the Cowboys. The Lions still have to play the Giants, I believe. These cross-division games and then the divisions themselves, playing their own division games against one another, the way there are just a myriad of possibilities as far as how this thing could play out, because all these teams are going to be playing each other and in some senses beating up on each other through the second half of the year.
And that's one of the reasons why I was walking down to the locker room a couple days ago with Michael Atkinson, our producer for our video department here with the Packers, and I said to him, my dark horse prediction for this year is there will be a 9-7 wild card team. I really do believe that.
Yeah.
In terms of, I think there's going to be some teams that win a conference at 9-7, but I also think that there's going to at least be one that gets a wild card bid at 9-7. Yeah. I just think there's too much parity, and I think there's too many teams jockeying for that position.
Right, and I think a few weeks ago, I don't think we necessarily would have said that because the Vikings were 5-0.
Totally.
The Philadelphia Eagles were 3-0. They've suddenly lost 4 out of 5 to drop to 4-4, but nobody's counting them out.
Yeah.
The Redskins go overseas and end up with a tie with the Bengals. Just all kinds of crazy stuff going on, and it's just getting started.
Absolutely.
But before we go to a break, Wes, we'll take care of some sponsor business here. Picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. Two pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 12th by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/bestseats. Cousin Sub's, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford, Wes Hodkowitz. Wes, final segment here. Let's talk briefly about a little small world story in the NFL, I guess you might say. The Packers sign fullback Joe Carriage from the practice squad to the active roster. And you came across an interesting little story that Joe Carriage isn't maybe as much of a stranger in the Packers locker room as we thought. What'd you find out?
No, it was really interesting, Mike. I was just chatting with him a little bit, and obviously he was a popular man. Everyone wanted to talk to the new guy on the roster. And I knew the connection there with Jake Ryan pretty much going through school the same time he did. Well, as it turns out, him and Jake Ryan actually shared a house for 3 years with two other guys from Michigan and really got to be pretty close during that time. I know they had some pretty good video games, Halo 2 matchups between them. And it was just kind of interesting in that, you know, Carriage said when he came here for a visit before the draft, it was actually Ryan that kind of was, he was able to reconnect with him a little bit. And then when he signed to the practice squad and he was at the hotel waiting to get a place, it was Ryan that he'd call up Ryan, he'd bring him around if you need to get some food or something. And
yeah.
It's kind of cool to see those sort of relationships. You see that every once in a while in terms of, you know, teammates being reunited on a roster. I think the Packers have several of those guys on this particular roster. But to have that kind of connection and actually know each other that well, captains, both of them were captains at Michigan. So a neat little story that sort of unfolded.
Yeah, and it sounds like those two were the house cleaners at the the house in Michigan. So I would imagine that they have two of the cleaner lockers in the Packers locker room, even though they're on opposite sides right. of the locker room there. The running backs on one side, the linebackers on the other. But yeah, and just another illustration. You mentioned Carriage was a prospect who came in for a pre-draft visit. The Packers a lot of times host those guys before the draft, the ones maybe they're thinking about as the lower round or perhaps the undrafted free
agents.
That weren't
at the combine.
Right, yeah. Right. And in this particular case, the Packers didn't sign Carriage. He ended up going to Washington, but then he didn't make the team. And lo and behold, he ends up back in Green Bay, a place that he did visit before everything went down in the draft.
Yeah, the Packers love to do that in terms of like getting to know some guys and really being able to foster those relationships. They've done it a lot with a lot of the guys that are on the roster, too, that they do end up signing. So it's a neat little process that they're able to go through and really do their homework on guys. But Carriage, it's really interesting. I mean, he is a fullback. That's going to be his home base, but Ryan talked about it too. He was a really big special team stalwart at Michigan. That was where he really gained a lot of respect and became a voice on that team. So when you bring up a fullback at first, I think a lot of people had some raised eyebrows, but I think the Packers see that ability with him, with only being here a month, to be able to take some of those duties on and maybe help out on those units.
Yeah, for sure. The Packers are always looking for those special teams bell cows or whatever you might say, the guys who can – a young player coming in as a rookie, and it's a place to have an impact right away, and we'll see if Carriage can do that.
Definitely.
But for now, we'll call that a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the Team account. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next time.